Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 446. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, sponsorships, or topic suggestions, please send to Rabbi Ismach at take10fortorah.org. Today's 10 is sponsored by the Kamelhar family, Le'ilui Nishmas Golda Bas Yitzchak. So what I wanted to talk about today was, of course we know in the coming parashios, and we have them taking a lot of weeks, Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakal, Pekudeh, the building, the construction of the Mishkan, and of course the corollary, the parallel of building the Mishkan is of course the Va'asul, the Mikdash, V'shachanti, B'socham, I will make a Mikdash, I will dwell within them, I will dwell in the people, and amongst the people, that applies as well to our Mikdash Ma'at, those small little things that we build that we call shuls. We call them synagogues. Now, of course, the Sefer HaChinuch explains that the point of the Beis HaMikdash was Kelomar Sheniyeh Makriven Sham Karbanosav Elav, we should bring Karbanos, V'Sham Tiyeh HaAliyah LaRegel, V'Kibbutz Kol Yisrael B'Chol Shana, and this would be the place that we would go up and come to multiple times a year, and this is a very important, very major mitzvah. Shuls are the anchor that is the middle, the hub of our communities as well. The idea that a shul is just the same, that it is this Mikdash Ma'at, is illustrated in the Zohar. It talks about Kama Ahuvim Hem Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how beloved are the Jewish people before the Jew, before God. Shebechal Makom Shehem Shorin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nimtza Bineihem. Wherever we go, God is amongst us. And the Gemara Brachos talks about this at length. The idea, Bechal Makom Asher Asker Shmi Avra Eilecha Uvirachticha. Wherever we mention God's name, we have this ability to be amongst God, we have the ability to connect to the Shechina. And so, being that that's the case, the Zohar says, Tzarech Livnos Beis HaMikdash Lemata, we have to build our little Beis HaMikdash over here, Lu L'Spalel B'Socho Tfilo B'Chol Yom La'Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to build our Beis HaMikdash irrespective of the existence of this larger, of course, Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. The Tosefta tells us the halacha is that Kofim B'nei Ho'ir, we can force each other, city people can force and tax others to be able to build a shul, and this is the halacha psuka in Shulchan Aruch. Others understand that the language of the menorah hamaor, for example, it's such a beautiful thing to be involved in. He calls it oseik ba'oro shel olam, building this mikdash ma'at, building this focus, this hub, this center of Jewish practice, of Jewish tradition in a city, is a very deeply significant thing. It is like the light of the world. Now the idea, once you're building the shul, so it should be nice, so the Zohar says this as well. Beis HaKnesses HaHu, once you're building a shul, the Zohar says, in B'shalach, Tzrichin Livnoso B'Yofi Gadol U'Latakinoso B'Chol Tikunim. The shul should be very pretty, very nice, and have all the most wonderful and new things that a building should have. Okay, so that's what the Zohar says. It's a very interesting halacha, a very particular halacha that comes in the construction of shuls that I want to share with you. And, you know, usually we have a lot of halachas that pertain to how we behave in a shul. And so, of course, because a shul is kadosh, it's holy, so we behave a certain way in the shul. And of course, because we behave a certain way in the shul, so it really gives us that message that it's holy. But, right, the holiness is usually first. This is a very interesting halacha. The halacha is Amar Rav Bar Machzi, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, it's Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph. So it's ultimately quoting Rav, Kol Ir Shagago Seho Gavon, Mibes HaKnesses, Lesof Charva. Any city, Shagago Seha, where its roofs are taller than its shul, the Sof Charva, will ultimately be destroyed because of, I guess, the contempt that's shown to the synagogue. Shenemar quotes a pasuk, v'hani mili bevatim, abel b'kishkushei v'avrurei leslan ba. This is only true of houses that are higher, but things like towers and different poles that come out of houses that might be taller, leslan ba, that's not an issue. Okay, so we have this interesting halacha that a shul has to be the tallest thing, or specifically the gag of the shul, the roof of the shul needs to be tallest. And there are a lot of different reasons as to why this might be. Might it be because people are going to be using the airspace higher than the shul for inappropriate things, in which case the shul should be the highest? Or is it that, no, the shul should just be the highest point in the community? If you're going to build a community, the shul should be the highest point. Everybody should be looking towards that community. It's probably an interesting historical question as to when the idea of spires or these very tall buildings, that you definitely have this in other houses of worship of other faiths, where the building is the tallest building, it's meant to be the tallest building. And it's somewhat interesting that the Gemara seems to exclude, according to one interpretation at least, the kashkushe v'evrure, these little things that sort of come and point up, which aren't technically the roof, those wouldn't count. But I wonder how this relates to the historical origin of certain buildings being the tallest and others being not being allowed to be taller than those. So here we have this halacha that it has to be the tallest. So interesting, the Likutei Halachos tells us that there's obviously some symbolism here. The idea is we have to understand that our bias, ki yirbeh kavod beiso, we say in Tehillim, you know, our bias is our sort of our self-esteem, our financial security, where we're, you know, our home, our house is our physical place in the world, and our physical place and how it's judged, specifically how we judge ourselves. We look at the house very, very much. So he says we have to make sure that our house, our specific home, forget about community planning, but we cannot have it that our home on an individual basis, lahagbio yosem ribeis haknesses, it can't be that our home is more important than our shul. Shir zachas v'shalom lahagbio kvodo al kvod beis haknesses, that we want to, God forbid, put our personal honor above that of the shul. The only reason I'm building a shul is to have it there, but it's going to be subjugated, it's going to be subdued underneath where my home is. He says that's like what happened back in the day in the Migdal Bavel, in the Tower of Bavel. They wanted to build their tower for that reason, to subdue everything else around them. He says that is the symbolism in this halacha. This halacha indeed is actually found in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, of course, adds the idea that not only should you build it, the roof, taller than any of the other roofs, but you should also build it on the highest spot. Now, again, this is all assuming that this is possible. Of course, nowadays, although this halacha is indeed found in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, you know, you do what you can. He says, "Yesh makom hashein nizharin b'zeh." There are places who, you know, you can't make sure this happens. Because of achronim shatam dechim v'shiyesham harbei batei ovdei gululim shegivom beis haknesses. There are a lot of houses of worship of alternative faiths that are taller than shuls. Imkem b'lav hachileke hekir lebeis haknesses. It's hard because we're not the tallest one in the neighborhood, so you're not going to notice us anyway. So, you know, you can't necessarily put it at the highest point. When we call Malcolm, he says, "Roy lechatchila lizari b'zeh." You should try to the extent possible. Chol mal de'efshar ki b'gemara hechmiru ma'od, because this is considered to be a very strict thing. So, to the extent possible, you should. Now, it's also interesting that it's also the roof, right? This is an external, exterior experience. It's not kavod that we put to a shul or that we give to a shul owner in the shul. It is kavod that we, everywhere standing in the neighborhood, can see that we have this tall roof, right? It doesn't even say that the shul has to be tall. You don't have to put the shul high up in the sky, but that the roof of the building that the shul is in should be very high. And perhaps also that there shouldn't be anything on top of it. This question is asked practically, if let's say you have an apartment building, should the shul be in the penthouse? Or must the shul be in the penthouse because of this idea? Now, on the one hand, we said that the Zohar says you got to put a lot of money and beauty into shuls, and we have this halacha specifically that the shul has to be the tallest thing in the community. But there's a very interesting Gemara, which it sort of puts this all in check. I want to share it with you. It's a Yerushalmi at the end of Peah. It tells a story. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, Rabbi Hoshea, having metailin be'elin kenishtel the Lod. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina and Rabbi Hoshea were strolling among the synagogues of Lod. And apparently these synagogues were very, very nice, and also apparently they were concentrated in one area. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina and Rabbi Hoshea, so he said to him, "Kama mamon shiiku avosai kan." How much money have my fathers expended here? He was complaining. He said, "Look how much money they spent on these shuls. It seems ridiculous." Amalei Reb Hoshea said to him, "Kama nefashos shiku avosecha kan." How many lives your fathers expended here? Fully critical. He says, "Lo havas is bein shah de la ayin b'raisa." Were there no people who needed that money to go and delve into Torah study? And he seems very critical of having spent so much money on these shuls. Now, in truth, there, of course, is always a discussion, a very wide discussion, about how much is appropriate to spend. There are always discussions about priorities in Staka. Who am I supposed to give to the poor first? Which type of people are considered to be the poor? But here we have a very interesting halachic debate about how exactly we apportion Staka funds when it comes to the building of shuls. It seems there's some level of criticism over here that's put towards maybe the over-fancification of these particular shuls. And even though we might say that, I don't know, there's no such thing as too much, it's like the Beis HaMikdash, it's something which, you know, we have to put money towards, everything needs to be kept in check. even the money you're going to spend in shuls, you have to be wise about making sure that that money is used towards the wisest ends and not ignoring or overlooking more important gifts to those who really desperately need it. So altogether, there's a balance where the shul has to be very, very important, very, very beautiful, very, very high up, very significant and symbolic, but at the same time, a reasonable expenditure and something which can be justified in the face of other needs as well. Have a great day.